Last July, VPR reported that state officials received documentation of alleged fraud at Jay Peak Resort in 2014, a year and a half before filing charges against resort owner Ariel Quiros and President Bill Stanger. In the first of a two-part series, we hear from the investor who supplied that documentation and how he began to piece together the alleged fraud before the state's investigation even began. Hillary Niles has his story.
Tony Sutton is a car dealer from London. He's worked around the world, selling everything from Mazda and Ford to Rolls-Royce and Aston Martin. He wanted to move to Florida, learn the American auto industry, and maybe open a dealership of his own. He never meant to become the ringleader for a group of defrauded investors.
I don't know what you call it in America. I was probably the nerd, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Then again, Sutton never imagined that the terms of his $500,000 equity investment in Jay Peak Resort, an investment that originally gave him an ownership stake, would be changed without his knowledge. That happened in 2013, when his equity was suddenly converted to debt. Sutton and 34 other investors in Jay Peak's Tram House Lodge didn't find out about the change until the next year in a letter from Jay Peak President Bill Stanger.
We got our letter from Stanger in January 2014. And, you know, the shock of getting this letter that suddenly we didn't have a hotel.
All the investors were foreigners who put their money into the Vermont business through the National EB-5 Immigrant Investment Program. It fast-tracks U.S. residency in exchange for investments that create American jobs.
The main reason that we chose Vermont was because of the assurances from the state that they would very closely monitor all activity.
But after learning they had lost ownership of the hotel, the investors discovered there had actually been very little state oversight for EB-5 developments in Vermont. For example, no one at the state-run EB-5 office had known of the change to the Tram House deal until investors started complaining about it. Next, Sutton was shocked to learn how little state officials would or could do to help. Investors were told that the deal had technically been legal, and the state-run EB-5 office didn't have authority to intervene. Investors were left on their own, holding an unsecured IOU from Jay Peak owner Ariel Quiros, who promised to return their money in 10 years. That's when Tony Sutton unleashed his inner nerd.
I never set out to become the spokesperson. It just happened that way.
Sutton says he tried to go through Jay Peak to get in touch with other investors, to compare notes, figure out what to do. Former resort president Bill Stanger didn't return a request for comment for this story, but Sutton says Stanger and others at the resort kept investors isolated. He felt stuck. Then he remembered.
In the back of my mind, I knew I'd seen an email with the other investors' contact information. It's just email addresses.
Sutton spent hours combing through 6 years of emails in hopes he still had this one. And he found it. Just email addresses, no names. But here was a link to his fellow Tram House investors.
And I basically emailed every single one of them. Basically, I got responses from probably 25, 26 of the investors.
So it began. Sutton became the hub connecting 20 or so people who collectively risked losing around $10 million or more from this deal. Sutton says some investors had cashed in all their chips for the chance to start a new life in America.
To me, the fact that I'd started it, the fact that I'd got everybody talking and actually managed to overcome the isolation that Stanger had tried to keep us all in, I just felt as though I had just an obligation to carry on and try to understand more about the case.
In summer 2014, the investors retained a forensic accountant to inspect the Tram House financial records. That effort was blocked as well, he says, when Stanger insisted that the accountant sign a non-disclosure agreement before accessing the documents.
What is the point of having an independent fraud investigator being gagged?
Thwarted again, Sutton recalled a stack of paperwork he had never really looked through before, his successful petition for U.S. residency, known as an I-829. It proves job creation by detailing how investors' money was spent.
And I think I was one of the only investors that actually asked for the hard copy.
It's a good thing he did.
My I-829 file was probably 4 inches thick with documents. You know me. I mean, there's an A to, almost an A to Z index and everything is listed as part of the costs and business plan of the project.
Sutton pored over these documents. One by one, his worst suspicions about J. Peak's finances crystallized. Roughly 700 investors from all over the world had put at least $350 million into seven projects at J. Peak and the planned ANC Biotech campus in Newport.
And at the time, you know, I was looking at it with very inexperienced eyes. But of course, you know, logic and common sense takes over. And now time's gone by, and you go back and you look at, you know, was I making the right assumptions or was I way off base? I was 100% right.
Bank statements in the I-829 petition appeared to show not only commingling of funds among many of those EB-5 projects, and mixing the money is a big no-no. The documents also showed loan accounts with investor money used as collateral, a huge red flag.
It was a watershed moment in terms of knowing for a fact that all of the concerns that we had were fully justified.
In November 2014, Sutton detailed his concerns in correspondence to state officials, who, because of their limited oversight, at the time didn't even have access to the same documentation Sutton had used. Michael Pichek went on to launch the state's investigation of J. Peak in February 2015. Pichek is now the commissioner of the Department of Financial Regulation. He told VPR he credits Sutton's letter in part with helping to launch that investigation. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission had long been on the case, though. State and federal fraud charges were filed against Quirós and Stenger in April of this year. Quirós is fighting the lawsuits. Stenger settled with the SEC, but still faces state civil charges, and a criminal investigation of both men is ongoing. And all this legal action supports in great detail Sutton's suspicions from nearly 2 years ago. For VPR News, I'm Hillary Niles.